here's your lava planet.
Right.
Here's your snow planet.
Sure.
Here's, we live on one planet that has all of that.
Right.
Why is there never another planet in a sci-fi thing that has all of it?
Yeah. We are on Stitcher now. It's, yeah, so I really don't know what that means. I just know, well, I mean, I know what it means, but I don't know.
At one point, I don't know if it still is, because I think Google Play does podcast distribution now, but at one point Stitcher was the biggest
they were
Android distribution platform for that stuff.
It's true.
I would assume most people are probably still using that. If you're already ingrained with that, you're like,
eh. I'm not going to Google Play. We're on Google Play as well, so there you go. There's a commercial for the beginning of this new podcast that's out right now. Oh, it's...
Lisa Mattresses.
Yeah, what? What?
Lisa Mattresses.
Lisa Mattresses?
Yeah, we got some
sweet
podcast merch.
Oh, is that right? We got some podcast merch. That's right, yeah. We got Blue Apron coming out. And now I wish we had Blue
Crate.
I wish we had Blue Apron sponsorship. That'd be the...
What's in this month's Wrestle Crate?
Be a good time. Anyway, Hoss, it's time for Video Struck Podcast.
All right.
And that's what we're doing right now. We're doing Video Struck Podcast.
Oh.
Yes. I mean, it's that happening now. We're doing it now. But when will then be now?
Soon.
Anyway, we're going to be talking Far Cry 2 on this one. That's our retro game. It's pretty retro, I guess.
It's 9 years old.
Yeah, that's a good point. 9 years. That's pretty, it's fairly, it's in the more, I don't know what you call the eras, you know, like anymore. Because you have like the retro era, which is like the 8-bit, 16-bit. Then you got the PlayStation polygonal era, I guess.
That's like the early HD era is what I would call that.
Okay, yeah.
The rule I have with most of the retro games that we cover, like ever since we started doing this segment, I've always tried to be very cognizant of the fact that like occasionally you can talk about something that might be kind of pricey or hard to find.
Yeah.
But for the most part, I want this to be something that like... This is $3.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
you know, you want to go back and you play something you missed. No,
nobody's gonna have a hard time buying one. Well, maybe if you can find it.
You can get that. I think I got my copy for $5 from a Goodwill or anything.
Sure. Yeah, I'm not saying it's expensive, but like I don't know how many people have a copy of one lying around.
I still like that game.
It's a good game.
Fuck everyone who doesn't like that game.
It's an interesting game. It's kind of like again, it's like one of those weird little outliers of genre that kind of breaks the trend.
In the vein of one, I've actually, you know, given that I've just played a whole shitload of Blaster Master Zero, I've considered going back and picking up the latter era PS1 game Blaster Master Blasting Again.
Okay, yeah.
It looks so much like one, except you're in a truck.
Except you're in the truck, and you're in Sophia.
I don't give a shit what anybody says. I think PlayStation 1 games, while not visually stunning, have a very cool look to them.
They do. I always go back. Whenever someone releases an HD remake of Silent Hill, I always kind of shake my head. There's just something about old school, creepy, polygon graphic Silent Hill that just really terrifies me.
Silent Hill 2, I think, still scratches a lot of that itch.
Yeah.
Because that game, it was super early PlayStation 2.
Yeah.
And you didn't get to the point where, like, Silent Hill 3 had, for the time, I don't know how they hold up now,
yeah,
like, photorealistic faces and shit.
Yeah.
There was really still something that was, like, it had a workmanlike quality to Silent Hill 2. If you could just forgive the fucking terrible load times.
Yeah.
God!
Yeah.
Those footprints on the fucking screen.
It was like pre-patched Bloodborne. It was like...
If you had a plasma TV back then, you didn't after you played that one.
It was burnt in. But anyway, yeah, so one would say that the Far Cry series is big in the graphical era.
Yeah.
Typically.
Even from its onset when the first game was made by Crytek.
Yeah.
You know, Far Cry 2, I find a really fascinating game that we'll go into here in a bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the key things about it, you know, that were questions going into it, they can't take the Crytek technology. How is somebody going to build an engine that can do that?
Right, yeah.
Well, they did that.
They did that. So there we go.
And, okay, well, Crytek was a really big, wide-open sort of game. Oh, this game's going to be linear as shit.
Yeah.
They
No.
They didn't do that.
It's totally not linear.
which is funny because Crisis 2 and Crisis 3, real linear.
Yeah, very linear, those games. So, yeah. So that'll be interesting to get into, I think. But first, we're going to cover the news of the day, a little news for stuff. Bayonetta 3, perhaps?
Or
a new game?
Or Sega's teasing shit.
Yes.
Right now. For April Fools, they re-released that side-scrolling Bayonetta game.
Yeah, yeah.
That's free on Steam.
Yes.
I haven't played it. I want to, though.
It's a little pixel-arted kind of game.
It was like a flash game they made right around the time that I think Bayonetta 2 was coming out.
Right.
And then they just kind of packaged it up for consumption.
Yeah.
But yeah, they also released a teaser site today, as of this recording, that is alluding to a reveal next week. And I'm thinking that will either be Bayonetta 1 and 2 for the PC, or maybe Bayonetta 2 coming to everything else, or maybe Bayonetta 3?
Yeah.
Or maybe a combination of all of that.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. So.
I mean, Sega has shown interest in keeping the Bayonetta franchise afloat.
Mm-hmm.
They made Bayonetta 1 backwards compatible on the Xbox 360, so... Yeah. If they didn't have any interest in people caring about that franchise, they probably wouldn't have done that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, they haven't made Vanquish backwards compatible.
Right.
Or ported that to the PC.
Right.
Which is fucking a shame, because that game rips. But they have no interest in making another Vanquish. Who would? That game didn't sell.
It didn't sell. Why would they do it?
Yeah. So. But yeah, so that's intriguing. So maybe by the next time that we podcast, we'll know what that thing is.
Exactly. Arkham VR coming to other systems, right?
Yeah, they never came out and said that Arkham VR was exclusive for evers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well,
no game ever is, typically. I mean, there's a few Nintendo properties, obviously, but, you know.
Yeah, well, and there's certain things, like, where if the lion's share of development was paid for by a first-party company and you're functioning as a second-party studio for them.
True.
You know, that stuff's not going to come out.
That's true.
But this...
Yeah, Journey's never coming out on Xbox, you know, stuff like that. So, you know,
yeah,
shame, shame, really. But
you know. Or like, you know, there was all that. There was a strange relationship between Rare and Nintendo.
Yeah,
there was a lot of stuff that was published by Nintendo, but not funded by Nintendo.
Yeah,
that was able to go with Rare, like Blast Corps.
Yeah,
is one of those, or Jet Force Gemini.
Jet Force Gemini.
Now. There was an ethically murky area here that I think Nintendo ended up just paying to close the gap on. None of the characters in Diddy Kong were made by Nintendo.
Interesting. They were
other
all
than Donkey Kong.
Right. Okay. So
the Diddy Kong racing game.
Yeah.
They could have potentially have brought that to other platforms.
Right. Interesting.
But that ended up not happening, obviously.
Yeah, so Arkham VR will be showing up on different stuff now.
Yeah, that they had their six-month exclusivity window. The thing I'll say about Arkham VR, I have played that on the PlayStation VR. It's not, like, a great game, and there's not very much of it there. It's $20, though. It's one of those, you know, VR experiences.
Mm-hmm.
If you really want to have a Batman experience that, like, you know, where you're flicking, you know, the Batarangs around and shit.
Oh, yeah.
You can have a decent time doing that.
Sure.
And it's made by Rocksteady, and it's in the Batman Arkham universe, and it's, you know, it's got some fun story stuff. I mean, although, you know, maybe an hour and you're done with it.
Right, yeah, yeah. It's not going to be a long form by any stretch.
Yeah.
Nor is any VR game typically, for me at least. I can't even do long form.
With the great exception of Resident Evil 7.
Well, yeah. With the great exception of Resident Evil 7, which, you know, that's obviously a non-VR experience as well. But, yeah, you can definitely experience that in VR.
Trackmania.
Mm-hmm.
A Trackmania Turbo, they made that VR enabled, and I'm like, well, I could go back and play some more Trackmania.
You do like Trackmania.
Well, because it's fucking awesome. fuck, man. It's so good.
It's a good time. Good time. Mass Effect sales are a bit down.
It's number one in Europe and has been the 2 weeks that it's been out. But just the word, the smoke on the streets, yeah, is that that game's not necessarily burning up the charts.
Yeah, talk about the water cooler, it's a bit light.
Yeah, I mean, the poor reception to it, the litany of bugs. Ooh. I saw a great bug the other day.
Bugs are fun to watch, actually. Like,
well, there's a scene from the beginning of the game, Giant Bomb had recorded it in their quick look, where your person gets out of the cryo sleep at the beginning of the game and is sitting down and sitting in a chair, and there's a person that's like sitting there in the same seat with them and just zooming in and out of that person's face as they're doing their like idle animation.
Sure.
And come to find out, the person that was there in that seat is the person that you had to go rescue from the planet next. And so he just stood up and talked to that person and the mission ended. They never did the mission.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Yeah. They never had to go down to the planet.
Right, yeah.
It's insane.
We did it, guys. We did it.
I have heard, quite a bit of interesting stuff, though, about Mass Effect Andromeda is that the Mass Effect 1 through 3 team is making a different game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the Dragon Age Inquisition team is making another Dragon Age Inquisition. And this is another team, right, that had never made a Mass Effect before.
Right.
So that might explain,
why it's a bit buggy and not great.
That, when you add in, like, how many losses that you know, company has had, yeah, to its staff in the last 5 years. I mean,
yeah,
you know, both, was it Dr. Rick and Dr. Greg?
Yeah.
The founders of BioWare. Yeah. They're both gone. All their creative leads are gone. I mean, you know, we talked about it a little bit last week, but yeah, it sounds like a lot of that stuff's showing. I hope that game doesn't necessarily do fucking terrible.
Right, yeah.
Because, like, any developer in their right mind is going to look at that feedback and go, like, we need to make this better next time.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe you can use that as ammo to throw at EA and say, like, hey, give us more time.
Right, yeah, exactly.
And I think there's something that they need to take in themselves. Pull your vision in a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Let understand what you're going to be making, what property this is, you know, and like, try to hit the mark on it, you know?
I have a problem.
Yes?
Every game,
right,
that's in sci-fi,
right,
exists with a big wide open galaxy.
Right.
Here's your lava planet.
Right.
Here's your snow planet.
Sure.
We live on one planet that has all of that.
Right.
Why is there never another planet in a sci-fi thing that has all of it?
Yeah, it's true. It's a good point.
Instead of having 100 goddamn planets, you have 5 that just have diverse environments.
Right, yeah. That would be weird, right?
Can you just choose, like, all right, I want to land on this planet. Where do you want to land? I want to land in the desert.
Yeah. Of which planet? Because there's 3 that have a desert, you know? It's like, you could even, like, you know, run through that. Now, I agree. You know, you could have different... Or, how about situations or planetary, you know, environments that don't exist here on Earth? A gravitational well where there's mountains that just sort of float. Yeah. You know, stuff like that. Why has it always got to be geographical stuff we can find here? You know?
It's beyond me.
It's like no one wants to purport outside that Star Wars-y kind of, all right, so we have access to a desert, so this is a desert planet, and we have access to a forest, so this is a forest planet. Like, why? Yeah. Why is it those things? Like, we've had 3 separate planets in Star Wars that were desert planets. 3 separate ones. That's crazy.
So Tatooine.
Yeah.
And Tatooine.
It's all the same planet, but it's Tatooine, Jakku, and whatever it was in Rogue One. So,
what the fuck is Jakku?
Yeah, that's the one from Force Awakens. It's not Tatooine in Force Awakens. It's Jakku.
God, I barely even remember a desert sequence. I remember enjoying that movie. Yeah. I remember almost nothing about it. I think that's a sign of that movie's quality in some ways, where it's like, yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
But, like, anybody who's like, oh, yeah,
I had
lost
fun.
On
it. I had fun with that movie.
I did, too.
That's about where I
walked away from it.
I was like, I walked away. I was like, cool. Can't wait to see the next one. That's all it needed from me. That's
like, and then you saw the next one and went,
oof. Well, I mean, well, Rogue One I didn't dislike.
Rouge One was terrible.
Rouge One. Rouge. It's the prequel to Moulin Rouge. Yes. Anyway, Speaking of terrible news.
Lady Marmalade.
Yeah, there you go. Speaking of terrible news, Harmonix, they're in financial trouble.
Yeah.
Apparently, Harmonix known for breaking my face.
Frequency, Amplitude, Rock Band. The Beatles Rock Band.
All the rhythm type games, the Rock Band games.
Harmonix, what is their VR thing? Harmonix Music Visualization? Something like that.
I mean, this was sort of foretold in the absolutely lackluster revival of the music game genre that didn't happen, which was a shame.
It's actually not. So when Rock Band 4 came out 2 years ago, Mad Catz signed on to do the hardware.
Right.
That game bombed so hard, Mad Catz declared bankruptcy last week.
Wow!
And they have to liquidate.
I didn't even know that.
Who the fuck is going to sell fight sticks now?
Holy crap.
They were the only ones making really good ones.
Jesus Christ. Mad Catz?
Yeah, about 4 months ago, they had to fire their entire board.
Holy
because they didn't have money to pay them.
Shit.
And now they filed for Chapter 7, which means they're forced to liquidate.
Oh my God. So this literally hit.
Done.
This literally hit everyone then.
And for this year's game, the follow-up to 4 at Rock Band Rivals?
Yeah.
Which is an expansion for 4, not necessarily a 5.
Right.
But that one, they partnered with PDP to do that, and a sign that the PDP licensing for that didn't go so well is that those $200, $250 band bundles are down to $99
at
every store.
Jeez.
And I think the guitar bundles are like $40.
Oof.
So, yeah. Not looking good.
Yeah.
Maybe we need a longer break away from music games.
Yeah. I think they were figuring like, okay, we've hit the 10-year period where nostalgia will now pick it back up. But clearly it wasn't there, maybe.
Well, and what's really
15 or 20 year.
I understood what Rock Band did.
Yeah.
Is that we've got hundreds of thousands, millions of customers who bought downloadable tracks.
Right.
And had done the license transfers from all the games.
Right.
So you've got all your Rock Band Green Day, your Rock Band 1, 2, 3, 4, all your track packs, downloadable songs, all the stuff that's flagged to your Xbox Live or PlayStation account.
Right.
And if you don't have that old system anymore, you don't have a way to play that shit.
Yeah.
So this was a way for them to get everybody moved forward.
Right.
And give you a platform for that.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, they cut out some of the stuff that was added in Rock Band 3 that people really liked. Like, the keyboard stuff was not there.
Right, yeah.
I don't think the Rock Band Network stuff was there anymore, where you could basically make your own songs.
Yeah.
I think that was gone. A lot of the licenses have started to expire on a lot of the music, so,
You
know, certain songs from certain bands just aren't available.
Just aren't available
anymore. Even if you own it, you can't play it on the new system.
Yeah.
Some would say that the biggest flaw is the nicest thing that they did.
Yeah.
They made that fully compatible with the old hardware.
Right.
And they didn't really substantially change the hardware because they wanted everything to be interoperable.
Right.
Guitar Hero went the new guitar route and said, oh, all your old shit's gone, whatever.
Right.
Maybe they were too beholden to the past.
Right.
And that's the exact opposite of what I would have said before it came out, because before it came out, I was like, fuck yeah, I want to play a new Rock Band because I own thousands of songs.
Right, yeah.
And then when it came out, like, I decided I didn't want to play Rock Band because I've already played those thousands of songs. So,
yeah, it's true.
And who knows, maybe I'll end up picking up a bundle because I've got all these Xbox 360 songs that are just floating in the ether.
It's hard to anticipate, like, as much market research goes into something, it's hard to anticipate exactly what people are going to buy. Proper etiquette of listening to reviews and thoughts from majority of my friends, I didn't think the Switch was going to sell anything because it had no games. And there, behold, it was one of the best launches they had because everybody said, it's basically a handheld. They do handhelds really well. And there you go. It's just, you never know. Like, it's just,
well, I bought a hot new Nintendo Switch game.
Did you?
In the last couple of days.
Did you now? Yeah. What was that? Is that Snake One?
No, it's Neo Geo Golf. Neo Turf Masters. I bought that the other day because
okay, yeah.
I really like the swing animation.
Well, there you go. Well, Neo Geo animations in general, mwah, is...
this one's really great because it's like a totally digitized man, but there's like 1,000 frames of animation on him swinging a golf club. You're like, ooh.
Ooh, that's a lot of animation.
I own that on my arcade system. I have many other ways that I could be playing Neo Turf Masters, but I'm like, I could take this one with me. I'm never going to fucking do that, but yeah. I justified $8 in my head by doing it.
There you go. I guess you want to get into what you played then?
Yeah, I've played a few things in the last week. I'll start top of the show.
Sure.
Smoking Barn Burner.
Yeah.
One of those hot games everybody's talking about.
The one you wanted to mention last week, I believe.
Nope, not starting there.
Oh, not starting there. Mm-mm. Okay. What are you starting with?
Hotter game.
Hotter game than
everybody's talking about it.
Everybody's talking about
World of Warships.
Oh, yeah, that one. Wait.
A free-to-play boat game.
Oh, okay. There you go.
I have started falling in love with World of Warships.
Yeah.
And I'm staring at a ship right now that's $80, and I'm like, I could just buy the ship.
There you go.
Owning this computer has been dangerous.
Okay, yeah.
I have been playing a lot of weird shit. Like, for those of you who don't know, World of Warships is a free-to-play game.
Okay.
Free-to-play has a lot of ties that go along with that.
Mm-hmm.
You normally associate, like, first thing that pops in your head is usually shitty phone game, right?
Right, yeah.
One of the first things in there.
Right.
This is not that.
Right.
It's a PC sit-down game.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I'll say that will probably surprise you.
Right.
One of the best-looking games on the computer.
Oh, wow.
It looks incredible.
Well, there you go.
The other thing is, it's me and my buddies are all older. You know, we're not teenagers.
Sure.
I'm the youngest one in my group of friends that plays ships.
Right.
But we've all kind of come to the conclusion that this is Quake Arena for 50-year-old men.
So fast-paced then, I would imagine?
No.
Oh, okay.
But the thing is, it's like, it's very slow-paced at times, but when it comes to just like the things that's great about Quake 3, it's not its speed, it's about execution.
Right.
And whenever you need to, you know, pull a hot move to start dumping on somebody, come broadside, just start giving it to them, it's all about executing this incredibly quickly.
Right.
And it's fun.
Is it simulatory or more arcade-ish?
It's simulatory.
Simulatory, yeah.
I mean, you know, you're measuring your knots, and when it comes to shooting guys in the distance,
right.
You know, you're calculating distance based on their speed trajectory and where you think it's going to go, and you're leading shots by like 80% of the screen.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, it's cool.
Yeah.
Fucking like that game.
It's good stuff.
I need to not buy that boat, though. A lot of money for that boat.
A lot of money for that boat. How much is a boat?
That one was $80.
Jesus, that's a lot of money for a boat.
But the cool thing about that boat, though, is that it's the Alabama, and all the ships in this game, for those of you who don't know, basically go through like the early 50s.
Right.
And that's it.
And that's all.
And at a certain point, they're going to get close to having them all rendered. Like, World of Tanks, same guys who make World of Tanks make this.
Right.
And that game's, like, incredibly popular.
Right.
They've gotten to a point where they've done every tank.
Yeah.
And now they don't know what to do, because they made all the fucking tanks.
They made all the tanks. You gotta start making new tanks. You gotta call up the military and be like, guys, we need new tanks.
I have a great idea for World of Tanks, though.
Yeah? What's that?
Trenches.
Trenches?
Mobile trenches.
Mobile trenches of some sorts.
Think of it like some kind of mechanized trench.
Some sort of iron brigade of giant mobilized trenches.
What if I could start giving salutes to people?
Salutes and thumbs ups to people.
While in my trench. Just giving it to them.
That's the second time we've mentioned Iron Brigade in a row. And
I like that game.
It's a good game.
Yeah, like I've been playing a lot of ships. I just wanted to get that out there because my buddy JT and I... have been playing quite a bit of it.
Playing ships.
World of Warships.
Yeah.
You should try it. Even if you just wanted to play it once, and it's free, I've never given him a dime yet.
Right, yeah.
And I played a shitload of this game. But the crazy thing about it is that you're like, the production values on this game and the quality of it, you're like...
Yeah. Huh.
Fuck.
These games are good.
It's really well done, and you're like... there's got to be a lot of people kicking in on this game for this thing to be this successful. And they're constantly, like, doing graphical additions where it's, like, you know, the fidelity on all the individual masts.
Oh, wow.
You know, shit. It's like, oh, yeah. They're higher resolution this week.
Ooh. Ooh, I like that.
Good time. But, yeah, so cool. That's enough on ships.
All right, cool.
But, yeah, Nier Automata.
Nier Automata. You want to talk about this last week. So.
Yeah, we were running a little tight on time.
I'm sure I misspelled that in my notes, but go on.
Yes, you'll want to look that one up, because it's interesting. It's like automaton, but automata, and Nier is N-I-E-R.
Yeah, I gotcha.
But yeah, this is an interesting fucking game. Made by Platinum, it's a follow-up to two games.
Right.
The original Nier, that was a PS3 and 360 game.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of it was a Square published game. This one is as well.
Right.
But it was a Square internally developed game, and it was kind of like a hardcore action RPG sort of thing.
Mm, okay.
And it was actually itself a spinoff of the Drakengard series.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah.
That sure. was a PS2 series of games where you were riding sure. around on dragons.
Yeah.
Well, Drakengard took place, I don't know the exact numbers, so we'll just use round numbers, like 10,000 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Nier was 5,000 years ago.
Gotcha.
And then Nier Automata is the current.
The current one.
Gotcha. So it's kind of like the difference between like Warhammer and Warhammer 40,000.
Right, yeah. This is the now.
Yes.
We're in the now.
I want to play Warhammer, like, 15,000.
Right? Yeah. Speaking of Warhammer, I actually played... That was the game that I played last... that I wanted to talk about last week was Battlefleet Gothic.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's an interesting game. It's in the Warhammer universe, but, like, it's basically like an RTS-type battleship, spaceship
oh, cool.
strategy game, and everything is the most metal fucking
yeah.
shit you could possibly... Your Dauntless Light Cruiser... And you're...
Do you hear a lot of orcs in there? They're like, Spice Marines! We hit Spice Marines!
They literally came out... There's a whole expansion of orcs, and they're all...
Yeah!
Like, they're all, like, chanting pirates, oh, this is orc spice! And it's all like...
Yeah!
Crazy stuff.
Do you get sea shanties with them?
Oh, like, yeah.
Are they called space shanties?
Oh, you get space shanties with them, yes.
Sweet.
Absolutely. It's a crazy one, you know. It's like, you know...
That's pretty cool. What's weird about the Warhammer universe is that Games Workshop kind of out of nowhere went from, oh, we're not going to license this to anybody, to
yeah.
licensing it to, like, fucking everybody.
Yeah.
Last year alone, I think there were, like, 8 40K games alone.
Right,
like,
yeah.
There was, like, Vermintide and all sorts of shit that came out last year.
Yeah, yeah.
That, like, only the people who really care about Warcraft know about it, but fuck, there was a lot of them.
Right, yeah.
Like, sure. Vermintide, I think, was the... It's kind of like Left 4 Dead-y.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Warhammer, the first Space Marines. So there you go.
Yeah, so back to what's important here.
Yes.
Nier Automata, is pretty fucking rad.
Right.
Basically, Nier Automata is aliens basically came down to Earth.
Right.
And turned all our machines against us.
Okay, so a maximum overdrive, got it.
Similar, yes. And then, all right, can I spoil something for like the first 5 hours
yeah, sure,
of the game?
Why not? Go ahead.
All right, if you don't want to hear any spoilers about Nier Automata, skip forward about 5 minutes in the podcast. I swear this is something super early in the game, but if you're that sensitive about it, okay. And I'll leave this a little bit more generic than it probably needs to be, but basically, the aliens disappeared. Some would say maybe they're all dead.
Some would say, eh?
Possible. We just haven't seen them in a really long time, is all I'll say.
Okay, yeah, right.
And
we're fighting the machines more so than yes. the aliens, I would imagine.
And so basically when the aliens came down, all the humans flew up to a big space station,
mm-hmm.
And no humans other than like these outskirts survivor kind
right.
of people live on Earth.
Right. Is this Horizon Zero Dawn's prequel? Is that what you're getting at?
It's very similar.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways.
Right.
Except, all right, your character and all the characters that you play as in this game.
Yeah.
Because you play through it multiple times, and every time that you play through, you get to play as a different character. Like, you start out as 2B, which is the lady with the panties that you always okay. see in the trailers.
Sure.
And then there's 9S, and there's a bunch of other guys.
Right.
So,
Seven of nine, got it.
Yeah. It's the Borg thing.
Right, yeah.
You know, did I ever tell you when I played the Star Trek Online, my character was named 4 of 20?
4 of 20, nice.
I just thought that was really good.
4 of 20, man.
I thought that was a good joke.
It's pretty good. Was it XXXXOX? I
mean, no. It was not that metal.
It wasn't that metal.
All
right, cool.
But yeah, so basically the this space station has all these automaton robots that have mildly human characteristics, some more so than others.
Right.
Some of the automatons have taken to humanity more than others,
mm-hmm.
and some just choose to deny it. Like, your character that you play through in the first playthrough, 2B, she might as well not have any human characteristics at all.
Right.
But she does that very deliberately.
Right.
So that she's very cold and calculating in the way that she operates.
Mm-hmm.
9S, the guy that you hang around with the most, he's kind of like your average anime guy. And he's like, hey, can we be buddies? And she's like, I don't have friends, idiot. which makes me like her a lot.
Right, yeah. Anybody who disparages the anime guy.
But there is a scene in this game where all of the robots, which look like crudely designed, like, if you told somebody in the 1950s, draw me a robot.
Right.
This is what they would look like.
Sure, yeah.
There's a scene where you walk into a room and there's like 100 of these robots and they're all trying to fuck each other.
Okay. Like, they just got the emotional response to have sex and...
No, they're trying deliberately to do something, but you're like, what the fuck are they even doing? They don't have dicks.
Right, yeah.
And, but no, like, they're all sitting around, like, simulating sex.
Right.
And then they somehow all make a baby. That's all I'm gonna say about that part of the game. All right,
then. That's crazy. But
when that happened, I was like, what the fuck is happening?
What is this game?
Yeah, that I've had like 6 or 7 separate what the fuck is this video game moments with that game.
That sounds awesome.
I like that game.
There you go.
I strongly recommend, in a spring that is full of a lineup that is of a quality that this industry has never seen, you should still take the time out of your schedule to play that game.
Sure.
Maybe don't buy Mass Effect.
Yeah, right, yeah.
You can feel free to buy Persona and come back to Nier later.
Right.
Because something tells me that Persona is going to be pretty good.
That Persona might be a pretty good one, and that might be some biased opinion from Hoss here, because he does like his Persona.
What a coincidence. I just grew a Charlie Chaplin mustache.
How bizarre.
I'm talking to you right out of the corner of my mouth. But yeah, I really like Nier Automata. I mean, I guess we'll talk a little bit about the gameplay. It's kind of one of the best things about it is, like, the story's fantastic in this game.
Yeah.
But, like, the gameplay is no slouch either. Mm-hmm. This game's actually designed and executed by the team at Platinum Games. It's actually the Bayonetta folks.
Right.
And it shows. You know how you occasionally get those B-tier, like, Platinum Games?
Yeah.
This is definitely not one of those.
Right,
this
is
that A-tier, like, this is their top flight shit. It's obviously running on their older engine, but they put new renderers and stuff in there. Like, I'm playing it on the regular PS4, not even the Pro, and it looks fucking fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
On the PC, there was apparently, like, some rough spots with it. You might, you do it a couple of mods, and that game looks pretty great. Or on the PlayStation 4 Pro, it does, I think, something like 1800p.
Yeah.
It's not a full 4K, but it looks a lot sharper. But even on a regular PS4, this game looks awesome. Trust me, it's fine. But the primary gameplay is third-person character action like you would find in Bayonetta.
Sure.
It's a lot of waiting for an enemy to flash, dodging out of his way, going into witch time, and slicing the guy up.
Nice.
There's a lot of that in the base gameplay of this. But also, if you hit the right trigger...
R1
on the PlayStation controller. Sure. Your little floating robot guy shoots bullets. And it's got full stick maneuverability with that.
Oh, cool, yeah.
And this feeds into one of the other mechanics in this game, is that there are segments in this game that are where you're in a jet, and it is a vertical scrolling shooter like Ikaruga.
Oh, really? Okay.
There are segments of this game that are full-on side-scroller levels, like NES Ninja Gaiden.
Oh, wow.
And then there are other parts where you're doing the third person character action, and it will move the camera up above you, and it's a dual joystick shooter.
Nice. So it just switches into all...
on the fly.
That's so cool. Yeah.
It is the one of the most varied games of this type I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And they need that, because this game is very long for one of these kinds of games.
Right.
You typically associate a third-person character action game, like your Ninja Gaidens of the world, Devil May Cry,
right.
God of War. The only reason I'm saying all these names is so that everybody knows exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
First set of numbers that probably pop out of your head are probably 8 to 12 hours.
12 hours, not super long.
This is like 30 hours?
Woo!
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, each one of your subsequent playthroughs is way faster.
Okay.
This game actually has... five main endings.
Okay.
And 20 secondary endings.
Whoa.
No, 21 secondary endings. Because it's all letters of the alphabet.
Oh, wow.
That's crazy. And it's... I've gotten two of the endings already.
Yeah.
I'm going to get the rest of those.
Just to see what they are. Two of the good ones, what'd you get? Did you get secondary or...
You go ones? In an order.
Oh, you go in order.
So I got two B's and then nine S's.
Oh, wow.
So it's the A and the B ending.
The A and the B ending. Okay.
Now, there are other endings that you can encounter along the way.
Right.
Where, like, in a certain boss fight, if you die...
Yeah.
The game ends.
Oh, wow. There you go.
Like you died.
Like you died. Like you actually
And it
failed.
Runs fucking credits on you.
Yeah, yeah. Like it's like...
And that's crazy.
That's pretty
and
good.
And yeah, there's a good amount of depth to that. If there's one complaint anybody could easily have with that game is very gray and brown.
Mm,
yeah. It's just bombed out cities.
Right.
And desert.
Right.
And... if you're somebody who has to have color in your games, you might look at this and go, but trust me, what you get out of it is worth it. Even if there's things like, even if you're somebody who doesn't really like dual stick shooters or you don't really like vertical scrolling stuff, as long as you don't have an out and out problem with third person character action, you will have no problem with this game really.
Right.
Because none of the like the other stuff's there for a variety. It's not very difficult.
Right, yeah. It's not going to... It's not a drag.
Yes.
It's not going to trudge you through it.
And if you want to, you can just start dumping tons and tons of money into repair potions.
Mm-hmm.
And then... just every boss is just, I'm popping these things all the time, but whatever.
Right, yeah.
But yeah, Nier Automata, check it.
Check that game.
That game is awesome.
Check that game, yo. All right. That is it, I think, for our news. Let's go ahead and head on into what we want for reals, yeah? Or is there anything else you want to talk about? You have a look on your face as though you have something else you want to talk about.
No, I guess the only other thing I've been playing is Half-Life 2. I've been streaming that.
So. Okay, cool. Awesome.
Follow us, twitch.tv/videodestruct.
Yep. Give that a check. Give that
most evenings during the week, I've been playing an hour or two of that a night.
So. Good time. Good time. There we go. Let's move on to our topic of the day, our retro game. I don't know. What do you want to call that? I don't know. Is that a thing we want to do? We want to do that again? You're looking at... I'm getting a vibe that you want me to do that every week. Every week you want me to give you that... maybe? Perhaps? I don't know.
Alright, so if that's your way of judging a vibe, if you ever get the vibe that a woman wants to kiss you, don't go with that.
Like, if the look of abject horror on their face is you need to go in, don't. Alright.
Somebody asked me a couple of weeks ago, he's like, oh, you do a podcast? I'm like, yeah. He's like, what's your podcast about? I'm like, it's kind of me yelling at my friend for a while.
No, I think we keep it on key a little bit better than that now. Early episodes, yes. Like, absolutely. It's like it's you yelling at Eric mostly in those early ones.
Typically, yeah.
But yeah.
I'm sad I couldn't come over for WrestleMania the other night.
Yeah, no, I need to yell at Eric some more. You know, it's always
It's, I don't ever see him anymore, really.
Yeah, it sucks. He's got a kid. I barely see him anymore. That's the first time I saw him in a while. Anyway, let's talk about Far Cry 2.
Yes.
Far Cry 2 from the Cry Engine. Well, not the Cry Engine, but sequel to Far Cry.
Yes.
From the Crysis series, I guess, or not really.
I'm
not too familiar with how that lines up.
Okay. So I'm going to give you a little Far Cry remedial class.
Sure.
Okay?
Sure.
All right. So... The team at Crytek made a game called Far Cry.
Right.
It was a PC game that was eventually ported to fucking everything. The things to know about Far Cry that are pretty representative of every other Far Cry game and also representative of every other Crytek game.
Sure.
When Far Cry came out, it was the best looking game in the world.
Yes.
Period.
Graphically, it's always top tier. Always. It's always a thing.
It was, when it came out, it was centuries better graphically than anything else available.
Right.
So, Far Cry was made by Crytek. Ubisoft paid to publish this and also retain the rights on the franchise. Because Crytek hadn't really made that kind of name for themselves yet.
Right.
So a lot of what happens is that you'll end up seeing a team make a game that's pretty big.
Yeah.
And if they don't really like the publisher or want to go do something else, they'll have to fork over the rights and then some other company will be making those games. And then that team leaves and goes and does something else.
Right.
You saw that a lot with like Insomniac made Spyro the Dragon.
Right.
They don't own Spyro the Dragon.
Yes. They didn't own Spyro.
So Naughty Dog made Crash Bandicoot. They don't own Crash Bandicoot.
Yeah.
Just to give you the general idea here.
Gotcha.
So, Crytek made that game and then left. And left with their technology.
Right.
So
that they do own.
Yes, but as part of, as long as it was under the Far Cry 1 umbrella,
right.
Ubisoft was able to make Far Cry 1 experiences again.
Right.
So you had Far Cry, Instincts, Predator, and there was a couple other games that were released around that time that ran on the same technology. Those all came to consoles and all that other shit.
Right.
So that's Far Cry 1. I don't want to go too far into Far Cry 1 because that's... There's jurisprudence when it comes to the fact that Far Cry 2 is a completely different fucking game!
Right, yeah.
Has nothing to do with Far Cry 1.
Right.
Despite the fact that in all of the marketing material for Far Cry 2, it says, like, the first true sequel to Far... Fuck you. Running. You know nothing.
That's not true!
Because, like, all the stuff that you associate with Crysis is the evolution of Far Cry.
Right.
Like, because in Far Cry, you had these animal abilities.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you could, like, you know, sprint at people and rip arms off and shit like that.
Sure.
And then in Crysis, you get that suit that gives you maximum armor and stealth and
all the armor stuff.
You know, all that shit.
Yes.
And cloaking and everything else.
Yeah, yeah.
So you... If you sit down and think, like, all right, I want to play these Far Cry games, I guess I got to play Far Cry 1. You're wasting your time. It's a cool game to go back to.
Sure.
I think without the technology wowing you in the face, I don't know how that would hold up.
Right, yeah.
But if you really want to play, like, what is a modern Far Cry game? Start at 2.
Right.
Because 2 is actually the genesis of the modern Assassin's Creed style, Ubisoft style open world action game.
Right.
If you look at Far Cry 2 and then look at Ghost Recon Wildlands or The Division,
right,
that is cut from the same cloth. They made Ghost Recon Wildlands 11 years ago.
Right, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, 9 years ago.
Nine, yeah.
So basically, Far Cry 2 is a really interesting game. You're hunting a guy named the Jackal.
Yes.
You're an American, you go to Africa, and the game has the awesome fucking savanna in it, and big wide open areas, and tons of diverse environments, and huge trees, and fire propagation, and all sorts of shit. Actually, at one point, in preview coverage, they said, like, oh, like the... You know, you'll love that the fire propagates, and it's like, cool. So if you, like, throw a Molotov cocktail into a bunch of tall grass,
the fire will spread.
They said, well, we had to turn the slider down at one point, because in development, if you just went and threw a Molotov in tall grass somewhere, you could come back, like, 10 hours later, and everybody was dead, including the Jackal, and you beat the game.
It just spread throughout the entire forest.
It burned the entire forest down and killed everyone.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Whoops. Gonna just go ahead and just adjust that a little bit.
Yeah, no, tweak that down a little bit.
Turn that down.
It's actually that kind of thought process is actually mirrored in Far Cry 4.
Yeah.
Because there's an awesome part where the bad guy in Far Cry 4, at the very beginning of the game, says, "Stay right here, I'll be right back."
Yeah, that's true. And
if you just stand there,
stay there, you win the game.
He comes back and he's like,
he pays you, and you leave.
Yeah. Thanks for staying.
And that's it.
That's the end of the game.
If you don't initiate the rebellion part of it, it's like, all right, yeah.
Thank you.
You leave.
That's it.
He has no reason to kill you.
Yep. Although he's a crazy person, I believe he would still kill you.
He would probably still kill you, but not at that moment.
That's true.
There you go.
But, yeah, so Far Cry 2 has a lot of really interesting mechanics in it. I used an analog last week when I was describing this that I don't like, but I feel like for most people it's probably appropriate.
Sure. Is
that it's kind of the Dark Souls of first-person shooters.
The Dark Souls of anything.
Yes. You know, it's like, this is the Dark Souls of condom commercials. Like,
it's real tough. It's real hard.
I feel like everybody is...
Dark Souls of condoms right here. It's real tough. It's tough.
It's studded.
It's studded.
But... yeah, I really think that Far Cry 2 is one of the most criminally overlooked games of all time, and it's kind of because it's the Dark Souls of first-person shooters.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, you get dumped into a big wide-open world. Yeah. Every car in the game, as long as it's not obviously blown up,
right. You
can hop into and you can drive it.
Right.
But what happens to cars? Like typical Grand Theft Auto fashion, you end up hitting a bunch of shit, somebody shoots at you.
Right.
The car's going to blow up, right?
Yeah.
Well, if a car gets ready to do that, in Far Cry, you can just hop out, and it's ridiculous. He just, like, turns a wrench on the radiator, but it fixes the car, and he closes the hood, and you can start driving again.
Sure.
The other thing I really like...
that's how car repair works. You and your brother work on cars all the time. You just turn the wrench on the radiator, and it's fine.
You know, like, my truck broke down on me last week. What did I do? I just hopped out, turned a wrench on the radiator, I'm back on the road again.
Ding! Started to sparkle, and I got back in.
Ah.
Little indicator.
Let's close the hood and get back in.
And we're good.
And every car in that game is a Jeep.
Oh, cool. That's good. Okay.
Officially licensed.
Officially licensed Jeeps.
Yeah, brought to you, Made in America.
Made in America, by Jeep. Jeep.
In Africa.
In Africa, maybe.
But, yeah, so the mechanic is really cool. Like, when you're driving, it's first-person driving.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no mini-map in that game.
Huh.
You have to pull up a map and look at it.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
So you're driving, and you're flying through the forest.
Oh, I gotta look at the map.
Trying to look at this goddamn map, and you're flicking the right stick back and forth to look at the road.
You're like Ace Ventura.
You are! Like, trust me, my character was very much like Ace Ventura. The game goes out of its way to give you a real experience.
Right.
So if you get shot in this video game,
mm-hmm.
you will lose health, obviously.
Right.
But you'll need to actually initiate a cinematic where maybe you'll have to dig a bullet out of your forearm.
Right.
And then pour alcohol on it and wrap it up.
Right.
And that's how you stop the bleeding and get some of your health back.
Removing shrapnel, things like that.
Yeah.
Fixing cuts.
Yeah, you'll like hold your hand up to the screen sometimes and like pull bits of shrapnel out of your fucking hand.
Yeah.
It's brutal, that game.
Yeah.
But I really like it in the sense that it's not just, like most games... oh, I gotta go hide behind this tree to let the strawberry jam go off my screen.
let the red bar fill back up so I can get back out there.
It doesn't trade in that stuff.
Right, yeah.
This game also goes the extra length of forcing you to collect these little blood diamonds throughout the world.
Okay.
Because they're worth a lot of money.
Right.
And in that game, the economy is very tight.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't really need to find the shit.
Right.
But, like, all the weapons that you're going to get off of enemies in the world are garbage.
Yeah,
when you pick them up, they're rusty, they're nasty, they jam.
They jam.
So after shooting a couple, you'll actually see, like, in a shotgun... one of the fucking shells will get lodged in there.
Right.
And during combat, your guy's sitting down there, he's beating the gun and trying to pull that shell out. It's real feeling. It's satisfying.
Right.
So what you do is you go out and you find these blood diamonds, which are not super hard to find.
Mm-hmm.
As you're driving around the world, your little GPS unit that you have will have a blinking green indicator as you get closer to these things.
Right, yeah.
And you just walk over, and sometimes there's a little puzzle to get it to fall down, like a briefcase will be stuck up in a tree, that kind of
stuff. Sure, yeah, yeah.
But it does a lot to make you feel, I guess, a part of the economy in such a way that you are not just buying things, mm-hmm. you are affecting change with your character's position the world in a way that you don't normally get out of most games.
Right. You're becoming more of like a broker type of guy. You know, you have are. Diamonds and...
And I know a guy who has the guns, but he wants the diamonds.
Right, yeah, exactly.
And there are certain missions that will give you diamonds as reward for missions and stuff like that, but a lot of your diamonds are actually going to come from the ones that you find in the world, so, like, while you're on your way to something, you're going to stop and do this.
Right.
There is fast travel in the world, but it's not fast travel from anywhere. There are bus stops in the world.
Yeah.
Where you have to stop at the bus stop, and then you can go to another bus stop. So it's not like, oh, I want to go to here and then click, like in Legend of Zelda.
Right, yeah, yeah.
It doesn't work that way.
Mm-hmm.
But the mechanic for it is actually kind of necessary.
Yeah.
Because unlike Far Cry 3 or Far Cry 4, if you've played those at all, there are, like, enemy strongholds.
Mm-hmm.
When you kill those guys... They come back when the next shift comes around.
Yeah.
Because people aren't just going to stop going to a place. They're going to say, like, hey, Ted and Frank never came back. Maybe we should look into that.
Maybe we should look into why they didn't come back here. So
that game, it just ends up, like, most people's biggest complaints about that game are that the guns jam too much. It's because you didn't spend the money to get the good guns that won't jam.
Right.
You know, it's, I never have any money. You didn't spend the time to get the blood diamonds.
Right.
And... The enemies respawn too much.
Yeah.
I'll concede that one.
Sure. okay, granted. Yeah.
But the thing that was nice about that was that the world constantly felt hostile towards you.
Right, yeah.
And
that's not a friendly place to be.
By the end of Far Cry 3 and Far Cry 4, if you've taken over all of the enemy strongholds...
Yeah. That's what, yeah, there's nothing.
Just hanging out.
Yeah, what else to do?
You know, it's just finish the rest of the missions and then you're done.
Yeah, yeah.
That's it.
Exactly. Yeah.
And, you know, there's.
But in this one, there's no real doing that, is there?
No.
You just, yeah. Like,
up until the end of that game is continuing to press on you.
Right.
You have better guns.
Yeah.
You have better equipment.
Yeah.
But the threats are still real.
Right.
It's kind of like the most trash enemy in a Dark Souls game will still kill you 50 hours in.
Exactly. If there's two of them left and they're hitting you at the wrong moment and you're on the edge of a cliff, whatever, you can get trashed by the dogs.
If you're not focused,
yeah,
you will die.
Yeah, exactly.
And that game, all the way through the end, and shit, I can't think of what movie it was.
Yeah.
It's a movie that's set in Africa.
Yeah.
Guy wandering in the wilderness.
The
whole bit at the end of Far Cry 2 as you go to have your confrontation with the jackal is very almost Apocalypse Now-ish.
Okay, yeah.
In some ways where there's a dreamlike quality to the last mission in that game.
Okay.
And I guess one other thing that we should talk about that everybody hates with this game.
Okay.
For some reason that just triggered it in my mind.
Yeah.
You get malaria at the beginning of this game.
Oh, okay. Just...
And you have to continually take malaria drugs.
Okay.
And if you don't keep enough malaria drugs on you, you just die.
You just die of malaria. I mean... You are in Africa, so that's, you know.
So it's like a big mechanic in this game. It's a big storyline component. Like, you know, the jackal and all those guys are dickholes, and they're going to take all the medicine and shit like that.
Sure.
And you don't want to see that happen.
Right, because you want medicine. You're going to die of malaria.
I want it for me.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
you're going to take that medicine. Like, box it up in a warehouse somewhere so that you can...
And then when I'm done with it and don't need it anymore, I just set it on fire so nobody else can have it.
Nobody else can have it because I'm a crazy person.
I'm the jackal.
I'm the jackal in my game.
But yeah, I really like Far Cry 2. Have you ever had much experience with it?
I haven't. I haven't had much experience with any of the Far Cries except for 3. I played a bit of 3. That's about the only one that I really
Three's cool.
got into. 3 is a cool game.
3 is the we listen to your feedback game.
Right.
I wish 3 was more like 2.
Right. Yeah.
But I understand more if you were them and 2 sold okay and 3 sold considerably more than that.
Right, yeah.
The reason why it sold considerably more than that is because they refined that formula.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think the important things to take from Far Cry 2 are that they did, in a lot of ways, kind of the impossible.
Mm-hmm.
They maintained the open-worldy Far Cry 1 aesthetic.
Yes.
except they made it in a bigger world. The actual game world in that is bigger than Grand Theft Auto San Andreas.
Right.
And that's a really big game.
Right. Yeah.
So it's got a huge open world.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a graphics engine backbone.
Right.
That ups the ante from what Far Cry was able to do. And at that time was able to do it on consoles. And Crysis 1 wasn't ported to the 360 until after Crysis 2 was out.
Right.
So we're talking like 2011?
Wow. Yeah.
This is like 2008?
Yeah.
The existence of that game beating Crytek.
Right, yeah, yeah.
To the punch with your new game that had your new technology that, you know, kind of stands on the shoulders of some of your work that you did with Assassin's Creed, but also has its own stuff with it.
Right.
You know, having the fire propagation stuff, having like a serious difficulty.
Right.
Not, I don't feel like that game is punishing or brutal, but it's serious.
Right.
It's something not to be trifled with.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And
you don't fuck with it.
No. Yeah. No, there's a lot of really good missions in there. It's not just go in the city and kill this guy. There's like awesome missions at the airstrip. We're blowing up planes and shit. There's a lot of fun stuff in that game. If there's some things that I will level against it that in Far Cry 3 and Far Cry 4 they leaned the absolute opposite direction with.
Mm-hmm.
Far Cry 2 probably a little self-serious.
Yeah, right.
Okay. You know, real serious about its story.
Yeah, yeah.
a lot of people are turned off by that kind of thing.
Sure.
But I think in service of what they were going for, I thought it was fine.
Right.
But I can see that being a flaw.
Yeah.
But other than that, like, I'm having a hard time thinking of anything that's an issue.
Right.
In that game, other than the fact that, you know, it's older now.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, this weekend, Humble had that game for
$3. Wow, there you go.
I strongly recommend you sit down and play yourself some Far Cry 2.
Right.
It's more influential on modern game design than I think anybody would actually notice, because most people are turned off of it so quick that they don't really notice its... They see its failures right on its face.
Right.
And never actually... You know, get the opportunity to see its success.
Right, to see what it can do, what it really is, what it can do. Yeah. Yeah, it's a shame when people kind of get down to, like, the nitty-gritty of what a game can accomplish, you might tend to, you know, like, you've experienced that before, I would say, with certain games where you kind of, like, had a harsh view on it, and then you gave it a shot.
Alien Isolation,
you know.
Last of Us,
you know, stuff like that. You gave it a shot of what it was trying to do and what it did accomplish well, and it sort of overshadowed those parts that were really kind of detrimental to your experience.
That's why I'm waiting
to
play Mass Effect.
Okay, yeah.
Put out some patches for it. Mm-hmm. I heard they're actually going to rework some of the facial animation stuff.
Okay, yeah.
The crazy thing about Mass Effect that I've actually heard here recently that... This one's not the one, but it might be the first step down a long road that's really fascinating.
Right, it's the first stepping stone. You know, that's what I've heard, too.
You know their facial animations are procedurally generated, right?
Oh, interesting. So they're completely...
So they use the faux means
to
actually... That's why the faces look weird.
Interesting.
There's no hand animation in there. When I first saw it, I thought, why would you hand animate it that way?
Right. But it's actually because, animating through sound.
But there are tens of thousands of lines of dialogue in here. To performance capture, that would take forever.
Right.
To hand animate it would take forever.
Right.
So they tried to come up with procedural generation for this.
Right.
And I'm telling you, if they get really good at this...
They get that down.
They could cut down the budgets on their games incredibly.
Oh, yeah. Because
think about how big Mass Effect Andromeda is.
Right.
They made it for $40 million.
Right, yeah. So... If you
a game like Destiny is like $200 million.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I think Halo 5 to make was $140 million, and there's not even that much spoken dialogue in that game.
No, that makes perfect sense that it's procedurally animated that way, because
it's unnatural.
It's unnatural. It looks
but
like
we're working on it.
It looks like you have a snap, like they have a Snapchat filter over your face. It's just like that weird like I'm a talking face.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah, and I'm wearing the crown of flowers, and I'm going to Coachella this weekend.
You put Zack Snyder's face over your face, and he's talking.
God.
Yeah, you can do that.
Oh, God.
it's terrifying. But yeah, real weird. But yeah, that's kind of how it feels, so that makes sense that it's all procedural, because it's basically, it's not mapping to anything. It's just the sounds that's coming out.
And, you know, they'll probably come up with some cool stuff that makes it work a lot better.
But I think you're right. That's completely patchable. Like, 100% patchable.
Just
like
alter the value.
When you alter the value, you dial that in, and everything starts to look...
Not to tie it back to Far Cry 2, but they took the fire slider and had to turn it down, and you ended up with something that was tenable.
Right, yeah, exactly. You didn't kill the jackal in 5 seconds.
Which is a shame.
They should have let that in. Just go like, oh, burn it down. The jackal just... Ah!
You see it running.
Oh, it was the jackal.
Bye, jackal.
Is the jackal cool? That's one thing I want to know. Is he like one of those like outward characters?
No,
like,
three is where they start.
That's where
the
they start doing the what's his face?
Voss?
Voss, who's not in the game that much.
He's in the first half.
He's in the first half, but like it's kind of like surprising. I like it that he just gets like off like halfway. Spoilers for Far Cry 3. Sorry, but he just gets off for like halfway through, and it's
do
like
you know what the definition of insanity is.
Like that dude who's like who got people into the game is just like
I remember when they first showed that trailer at E3 for that, and so he says it the first time. You're like, oh, that's funny,
right?
And then he, you know. You go through this big, long dialogue. He's killing your friends and then gets really close to you and says it again. And I'm like, okay, that was kind of chilling. I don't like this.
That was, all right. That made me feel skeezy.
Yeah, I want to wash that off.
I'm going to leave. I'm going to go home and not watch E3 anymore. Anyway, that's Far Cry 2, guys. That's the precursor to the massive franchise. Would you say more so than the first one, I guess?
Absolutely.
The first one was
because it's so much of a different game.
You're right, the first one was very, linear? Or was it still had a...
It had wide open areas, but it was going at a different thing.
Sure.
Like, Far Cry and Crysis.
Yeah.
That's your connection.
Right.
Far Cry 2 and its successors,
that's your connection.
That's
the connection there.
There's
There's
so little... Right. In common between Far Cry and Far Cry 2.
Right.
Far
Cry became more that property.
I understand why Ubisoft would name Far Cry 2 Far Cry 2.
Right, yeah.
You own the franchise. It was successful. It had successful spinoffs. People know the name. There's brand awareness. There's all that stuff that you always associate with game development.
Yeah.
But... This many years later, under the filter of the Far Cry series got bigger than the Crysis series ever did, you're like, it's kind of funny thing is called Far Cry.
Whoops.
It's a good thing for them.
It is, yeah. I mean...
Arguably, Far Cry is... I'm going to say something kind of controversial here.
Yeah?
I think it's their only series that's still hitting.
Okay. What else do they have out that I'm missing?
Rainbow Six, Splinter Cell, Ghost Recon, The Division, Assassin's Creed.
Oh, Ubisoft. Yeah, duh. I apologize. Yeah. Did they do Hitman?
No, that's Square Enix.
That's Square Enix, yeah. Damn. Yeah. I mean, like, I guess, like...
They published Trackmania, so you can say they got that?
I mean, they still have successes, but yeah, like, it's... It's really worn down with a lot of bad press, a lot of bugs.
And I hate to say it. I mean, like, Rainbow Six Siege, the people who like it really like
really
it.
Really love that game, yeah.
I'm not throwing shade at that, but I'm saying that series is not what it once was.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
The biggest issue that is overarching for their entire suite of video games is that their open world formula has gotten very stale.
Right.
And... I really, really hope that Assassin's Creed Egypt, or whatever it's called, that's coming out this year, is substantially different.
Yeah.
The rumor is that it is Egypt. Yeah. I think there's a lot of fun potential that you could have with running up pyramids and shit.
Sure, yeah. Running off the Sphinx's nose.
Yeah, climate.
Diving into a bed of hay off of the...
Yeah, I mean, of course there's hay.
Yeah, of course there's hay at the bottom of the Sphinx.
But you really... need to change that formula, Ubisoft. It's getting a little thin.
Agreed.
And that's coming from somebody who's played, with the exception of Wildlands, which I only played the beta, I've played every open world game they've ever made.
Right, yeah.
And so. I'm just kind of sick of it, because here's every one of their games, find a high point, whether it's a tower or another thing, it's going to unlock this area of the map, it's going to put a lot of things on here, and then, great, remember when I just spent like 4 hours clearing this area out of objectives?
Yeah.
Now I gotta do that here.
Now you gotta do that over
there. And it's the same five mission types.
Right, yeah. And also, you see that thing in the background? You can walk there. That's great. The other thing. Did you know that?
Yeah, I knew that. Thanks.
I did. I thought I knew.
Yeah, thank you. I was aware. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
I don't see a big ocean that I can't swim, so yeah, I'm assuming I can go there.
Oh, boy.
Did I mention on the podcast last week that I beat Zelda?
You did. I don't think you said future-wise we'd have a bigger discussion about that, I think.
Yeah. Once you beat that game, we should have a spoiler cast.
Sure. Let's do that. I would love to do that.
It's not necessarily going to be like super story-centric.
Right.
Because there's not really that much story to that game.
No.
But well, really, I just want to talk about like, what'd you do?
Right, yeah, exactly. There's a great comic online where it's like, where like shows Link... Like it's like, oh, I mastered my cookingware or whatever. I found all these cool weapons, blah, blah, blah. Just like 80 hours of like all this stuff. And it just shows Zelda going, where are you?
It's pretty good.
Like there's a thing going on. But yeah, I think that's going to wrap up our video game talk for today. Talking about video games, Far Cry 2, go check it out. It's cheap. It's on a Humble Bundle. You can get it on any, I think you just get it on Steam, right? For pretty cheap, yeah, I'd imagine. There you go. Go check that out. Or, you know, if you've played their successors, 3 and 4, you know, maybe go back and experience what...
The 360 and PS3 copies of that are totally admirable versions of it. Yeah. The nice thing about Far Cry 2 on the PC is that it will run on virtually anything now because it's a decade-old game.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm assuming most consumer-grade laptops will run that incredibly well.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Like, if somebody gave you a computer for work, it would probably run on that.
Which is insane to me. It's just like...
Hey, man, time.
Time.
It'll probably run hot, but it'll run.
It'll run on something. There you go.
Next week, we're going to talk about Metal Gear.
Okay. We are on a good... trajectory lately. We've been talking about the games we said we were gonna.
I've been taking notes and everything here lately.
Yeah, it's
I've been like reading stuff at work the day before, like during my lunch break, and taking notes on. I want to make sure I talk about this. Right.
You know why? It's because people are listening now.
I feel obliged to now that I know somebody's listening.
Another thing, we got 81 downloads this month already.
Sweet,
this is pretty great. We're only on April 3rd, people are like. Yeah, people are going back and listening to old episodes.
Wow. Because
Blueberry actually, the people that give our statistics, they actually like cleaned up their statistics and I can actually read it now.
Oh, really?
So it's really nice to just be able to pop it open and be like, oh, yeah, that's how many month and everything. So,
God, like those first 40 or so episodes, I'd really like,
oh, yeah, don't worry about those.
God, like, I just want to delete those.
When we changed formats, I
think that's where the show matured.
That's when the show matured and we've been on a pretty good trajectory ever since, so... There we go. Before we close out, I want to know your thoughts. Anybody wants to talk about video games, just turn it off now. We're talking about wrestling right now, okay? We're going to our wrestling corner. Real quick before we end it off, what'd you think of Mania? What'd you think of Mania 33?
All right, so we're going to go like 1 to 5 stars? Do you want me to give it a number before we start?
1 to 5 stars, yeah.
4.
4 stars. I give it about 3.5, 4 as well.
It's whole numbers only.
Yeah, whole numbers only, 4. Four if it's whole numbers, yeah.
That was a great WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
I remain steadfast in saying it was too goddamn long.
Yes, too long.
But
far too long.
Here's the thing that I really respect about them making this as long as they have, though, mm-hmm. is that if you're a part of the company during WrestleMania, you get a big paycheck. But if you are on WrestleMania, you get a way bigger paycheck.
Yes.
So they've got all these battle royals and all this other stuff. They just want to get people paid.
They want to get people paid.
Because they're getting paid, you know, like this. They basically shut down the city of Orlando for 5 days to make everybody money.
They did. It's not WrestleMania anyway. It's WrestleMania week.
Yeah.
That's how they plug this.
Yeah.
It's like
Gabe Sapolsky. I follow him on Twitter. You know, he was like, hey, like, I want everybody to know that, like, you know, all these, you know, British guys like Zack Sabre Jr. that were here to do these shows.
Right.
WWE flew them over here and let them work with us.
Right, yeah.
They just want talent to get paid.
Yeah.
They don't care what organization you're in as long as you're not TNA. Yeah. I heard that during WrestleMania week.
Yeah.
They make agreements with all the arenas in the area. You are not allowed to book TNA.
Oh, wow. That's crazy.
You can book talent from TNA,
but you're not a TNA show.
ROH, What Pro, all these other ones.
You don't you don't poke Vince. Nope. He's going to poke back.
Unless you're willing to offer up your tape library.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, if you're willing to offer up your tape library, that'd be fine.
It would be really weird one day to be able to see Bully Ray on the WWE. It would be
pretty great, actually.
I think that Mania itself was awesome.
Yeah.
You know, the other normal dumb celebrity thing, Gronkowski coming out. I thought it was funny.
I thought it was all right. They saved it for the Andre the Giant thing, which just kind of needs a celebrity. It just needs like a big, some type of intake, because ultimately that thing's barely accomplished anything.
How many minutes is that trophy on TV before someone breaks it?
Like, a heel comes out and breaks it?
Because every year it's been broken so far.
Has it really?
Yes!
Oh, did somebody break Corbin's?
I don't know.
Okay, I missed that.
Somebody broke Big Show's. Well, yeah, and somebody broke Cesaro's. Cesaro broke it before anybody else when he first lifted it up. Remember it fucking
broke? It broke in his hands, yeah. I remember that. We were there that day.
Yeah.
The inaugural one of that. I enjoyed that show. A lot of people are dumping on it pretty hard.
Match of the night.
Match of the night. Ooh, I gotta go with real early. I would have to say it probably goes to AJ Shane.
AJ Shane is probably mine.
I love that match. Like, that was a really well done match. Now, it was very like high spot type of match, but that's the kind of match Shane does. And he didn't really get to do that match last year.
Well, he was obviously in way better shape.
Yes, he was in way better shape. He only had one big spot, and there was like a clearly inflated table, and it kind of was like, as you see that table like kind of deflate, it's kind of how you feel about the whole spot. It's just kind of like,
That's how I feel about last year's Mania.
Yeah, last year's Mania wasn't the best.
Yep.
This was way better.
Yes.
It's not WrestleMania 30, it's not WrestleMania 28.
I like 28 a lot.
Yeah, 128 is great.
But I actually went back and watched 28, and it's not as good as I remember.
Yeah, yeah. It's
just that so many of those storylines were so contained into that period of time.
Yes.
When there just wasn't a lot going on in wrestling. True.
And, you know, it was the biggest buy of all time, and will be that forever, because the buys aren't the same anymore. So the pay-per-view buys are not the same thing anymore, so of course it will ultimately always be the top one. But, you know, people are kind of dogging this thing like it was a 27, and I'm just like, no. Like, it wasn't that bad. Like, people just hate Roman Reigns for literally no reason nowadays, just other than the fact that, like, oh, we don't like him because they're trying to push him down our face, and it's like, well, tough. They're gonna push him down your face. Like,
well, here's the thing that I would say is that, like, everybody is holding on to this hope that, oh, well, like, people turned on Lex Luger.
Yeah.
Here's the thing with Lex Luger is that he was an asshole. And also, he wasn't very talented in the ring.
Yeah.
Neither of those things are true about Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
So they don't really have an excuse to take his push away.
They don't. They don't have an excuse to take the push. And plus, he still sells merch out the wazoo.
Number one seller.
Yeah, he still sells merch out the wazoo. And granted, they book him badly in a lot of cases. I can look at that and go, that was stupid. Why'd you do it that way? His rumble that he won, I could point to, where you take him out of half of the match when you want to build me up as this guy who can beat anything, and he doesn't even participate in 80% of it. So, you know, it's just bad booking.
Here's the thing. Who'd you want to beat Undertaker to end his career?
Right.
Pick one.
Daniel Bryan. That's like my pick out of the blue.
Okay.
Daniel Bryan.
Can't happen
because they're not going to let him wrestle. AJ Styles would have been interesting.
If any people in your mind are over the age of 35, you don't understand.
Right.
Like, granted, AJ's a little different because he's still so new to that company and there's so much tread left on the tires.
Right.
He's 37. I'll let it slide.
Let that slide, yeah.
But, like, you know, it's like, they could do the Shawn Michaels Ric Flair thing where I'm convinced to this day that while that was a great match, while that was a touching ending to that storyline and a fitting end to that whole like 5 month streak where Ric Flair couldn't lose.
Right.
The whole lead up to that thing was great.
Fantastic.
But in the end, it's kind of wasted.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they didn't get anybody over.
They didn't put anybody over. I know. Yeah. Now that's more of a legacy versus legacy type of deal, but Taker's the type of guy that's gonna want to push a new guy, and he's gonna go out on his fucking back. That's how he's gonna do it. And the newest guy that's believable to beat up Undertaker,
and that's
Roman Reigns.
And that's the number one thing that I think we should all remember in this is that The Undertaker, if there's one word I could ever use to describe that man, it's legit.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And he's as close to being legit as any fighter ever has been. I understand that Brock probably doesn't really respect him that much, because Brock doesn't really respect anybody that much.
No, he doesn't respect
and him. He doesn't give a shit.
Right.
But in the industry of professional wrestling, he's the godfather.
Yeah. He's especially in WWE, because he never left. He never even talked about leaving.
Company guy.
He was there. If the ship sank, he was going to be on that ship. That's all there was to it.
And if you want to understand why Vince McMahon was so bloodthirstily loyal to that man, accommodating to that man, who else that's not a fucking megastar in movies would you say, in the prime of your career, I think I'm just going to wrestle like once a year now.
Right, yeah, exactly.
And he wrestled like another 6 years that way.
I know, right?
And it's because he had the stroke and because he was that damn good. He never demanded a title.
No.
He never politicked his way. He helped other people get what they wanted.
Yeah.
But you never heard anything about, oh, The Undertaker was out for himself.
Right. It's never, ever.
No.
It's always about the business. Always about the show.
Because with the exception of the SmackDown World Heavyweight title, the WWE Championship, I think he only held it like 3 times.
Yeah, right.
In total, with the SmackDown World Heavyweight Championship, I think it's only like a total of 6 or 7.
He's not like a Holden, Triple H, John Cena, 16, 14 time type.
He's much like the Big Show, although better, but he's much like the Big Show in the sense that, like, hey man, I just want to make sure that the team succeeds.
Yeah, exactly.
The Big Show had the burden of having watched an organization fucking feed off itself and its own insecurities, where he's like,
yeah,
I don't ever want to see that happen here. Right. I like paychecks.
I like paychecks, and I don't want to fold, so what do we do to keep this thing chugging?
So, just anybody who's got a problem with that match with Undertaker last night, fuck you.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I thought it told great pathos, especially in the last 5 minutes.
Roman did the best acting of his career?
Yes. I think Roman did better. People, I'm sick of people knocking Roman's ring work. Because, motherfucker, the reason he was pushed is because you loved his goddamn ring work prior to that. Yes, the Shield hit any, like, the Shield dynamic hit any weaknesses that he had. But, goddamn, he doesn't have that many weaknesses in the ring anyway.
I wish he'd change his gear.
Yeah, I wish he'd change his gear, too. That would be nice. Something a little more heelish, something different.
Or just take the fucking vest off.
Yeah.
Wear the pants. I don't care.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, I'd be...
But what?
I wanted him to do one thing that, like, it would have... I think it... If you're going to play him off as a babyface, as they did...
Right.
Near the end, when he's like, you know, just stay down.
Right.
You know, like, what if before that, what if he had a moment where he's like... Hey man, just fucking leave.
Right, right.
Just go.
Just go, just leave,
I don't want to do this to you.
Right, yeah, exactly. It's that whole... Like,
this isn't fun anymore for me to have to do this to you.
Yeah, just say it's my yard.
Yeah.
Just say it.
Just admit it and leave.
Admit it and leave.
And, you know, I think that could have come across a little bit more genuine.
Right, yeah.
Like, because people could say that, like, Roman Reigns, like, one person that's standing in the way of him being the number one top guy in the company.
Right.
Is somebody like a John Cena and somebody like an Undertaker.
Right.
And if he was given the opportunity to just let that person leave, he'd fucking do it. And I would believe that.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, it's... I thought that they put on a really great match.
Yeah.
I didn't get misty-eyed like other people anything.
I didn't get misty-eyed. I just kind of like nodded my head like, oh. Because I wasn't sure.
The gravity of the situation hit me as soon as he started to unstrap his gloves.
Yeah, when he unstrapped the gloves, like, well, there it is.
And then they showed the 23-2 logo and I was like, yeah, that's 25, huh?
Yeah.
He's 20, done.
25 manias. That's it.
And, so. You know, he did a damn good job.
Yeah.
You know, I do think that... I wasn't a huge fan of the Brock Goldberg match. It was as good as it possibly could have been.
I thought it was a good sprint. I thought it was a good sprint. I think that's how they go. That's how you do a...
Lesnar was so blown up.
That's how you do... That's how you do a Goldberg match, man. You just sprint through it. It's just... It's a different dynamic. You gotta sprint through it unless you
whatever happened to Cell.
Unless you have a worker, not for beasts. But anyway, unless you have a worker like DDP that can carry Brock or carry Goldberg through a technically sound psychological romp, Brock's not that guy. So you have to just be like, fucking go, 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 go. 4 minutes, 45 seconds. Taker's entrance was longer. There you go. So I liked it just because I knew what it was going to be. I knew it wasn't going to be any longer than 5 minutes because you just can't. It's not in their ability to do it. Otherwise, you have a shit show like the last time they were at Mania. And nobody wants that.
No.
Nobody wants that. But match of the night goes to Shane.
Moment of the night, Hardys.
Moment of the night, Hardys coming back. Crazy good.
That match should have had twice as long to run as it did.
Yeah.
Because at a certain point, it was just people sprinting to spots.
Yeah.
And fucking props to Cesaro. He should be holding that goddamn belt for that company because he was in every fucking spot in that show.
Yep.
And props to the Hardys, too, because they had a 40-minute barn burner the night before.
Right,
that was another goddamn ladder match.
Exactly.
Where they beat the living shit out of the Young Bucks.
Yep. I loved it. I thought it was a great Mania. I don't know. It was.
There are so many good wrestlers in that company right now. It's insane.
It's kind of insane. You almost have to hold two Manias now. It's fucking nuts.
Should Ambrose have lost to Corbin?
Nah, I think it was fine. Because it was pre-show anyway, so you can have Corbin win that thing at a smaller pay-per-view and have him run with it, and then get more spotlight on him. That was a solid match, by the way. Main event easy.
Oh, dude. Austin Aries.
Oh, yeah.
Holy shit.
That shit was awesome. I loved it.
That was fucking awesome.
And they didn't even pull out everything they could pull
either.
They saved things.
Like, yeah.
I still say you have Neville keep that thing for a year, but keep Austin going after it.
Oh, and Neville continually busting him in the eye socket.
Yeah.
Heel!
Just heel. Grabbing that eye socket. Oh, so the scream of horror when he grabs it. Oh, so good. Good stuff.
Austin Aries still wins, though, because he's engaged to one of the most beautiful people on the planet.
It's true. There you go.
They're vegans, though, so whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
But yeah, like if you haven't watched the kickoff, if you avoided that and you did watch Mania, go watch that Austin Aries match. Watch that Baron Corbin match.
Yeah.
Those are great. The Battle Royal, whatever.
It's
funny.
It's
I laugh.
It's funny. I thought it was funny. I don't know why you don't give that to Braun Strowman at this point, but whatever.
How
did you not, like, midway through he gets dumped out? Like, what?
Shogun, like, immediately?
But fucking Dane stays in? Like, oh yeah, they're gonna pull up Killian Dane before Sanity? No. Like, get him out of here.
No, Sanity's on TV in the next 3 months.
Yeah, as a group. Like, so anyway.
Oh, dude. NXT. Hey, one last thing.
Okay, sure.
All right, we're getting close to Persona time.
We're done.
But we're fucking NXT TakeOver, one thing.
Right.
Ty Dillinger's face fucking match. Holy shit. He looked so mad.
He was so angry. Oh, man. It was so good.
That match was incredible.
The
Roderick Strong. I want anyone who doubted me about that guy to fucking apologize. Cassius Ohno. Woo!
Woo! Cassius Ohno.
Finally got him some gear that hides his gut.
A little bit. Yeah, almost. Doesn't quite hold all of it, but
he's got a pituitary issue. That's why his weight goes up and down.
Yeah, like that. He's very fluctuating. I noticed that. Go watch wrestling. Wrestling's really good right now.
Yeah, if you just do the free trial or just pay $9.99 to watch fucking WrestleMania and the pre-show. The pre-show you can watch for free.
Yeah, you can watch pre-show.
NXT TakeOver from Saturday. Wow.
Yeah.
Don't bother watching the Hall of Fame. I got like 37 hours into it and went like, I have to stop.
You got that far, huh?
Actually, just start and watch DDP. And he went on for like 40 minutes, but it was awesome.
Yeah.
And it was inspirational. And I woke up the next morning and went running because I felt good about myself.
That's how DDP works it. That's it for this episode of Video Destruct Podcast. Check us out on Facebook, Video Destruct. On Twitter, at Video Destruct. You can follow Twitter, at Haas_Buddy. He talks to wrestlers.
Follow me on Twitter, at Haas_Buddy. I talk to wrestlers.
That's it. We're done. We'll see you next time.